Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lauren and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Georgia. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us what you've been up to.
Well, I just got back from being in Australia. I am Australian and my new book is set in Australia. So, you know, just doing a trip for tax write-off reasons, just kidding, to see my family. And yeah, really excited to talk about this new book and share the Aussie love with all of my American readers.
I love this. So you wrote this book in the pandemic. I'm assuming you were like, I need to get out of the New York bubble and like
exactly
go somewhere tropical, go somewhere island and share your childhood, like you know, like Australia to the world. So tell us about island time and like what inspired you.
Exactly. Well, I live in New York. I live in Brooklyn with my wife and all of my books so far have been set in New York. I love New York City. I love living here. But by August 2020, I was climbing the walls and going through, you know, the pandemic hell that we were all going through. And I really needed my new book to take me to the place that I couldn't go to be with the people that I couldn't be with, which is Australia and my family. Mm-hmm. So Island Time is set on a fictional island, small island set off the coast of Queensland, Australia, which is where I spent my summer holidays as a child visiting my grandparents, and my mother lives there now. And the conceit of the story are two very different families, one American, one Australian, who have nothing in common except for the fact that their daughters are married, go to this lovely island called Lady Lushington Island, or the indigenous name is Munday, for what's meant to be a sort of bucket list three-night family vacation to spend some time together and get to know each other. And their sort of short trip is thrown awry when a volcano off the coast of New Caledonia erupts and wipes out travel in the whole East Coast. And they're stranded on the island, just the two families and two other people, one on-island employee, the sole on-island employee, a Canadian woman named Liz, and an Indigenous man, Jara, who was camping on the island. The island is under exclusive native title, which means it belongs to the Indigenous tribe whose ancestors would have originally lived on the island. And so it's a story where all of these characters come into this, what's meant to be a short vacation, sort of thinking their life is going one way on one track, that they're sort of headed for this destiny. And by the time they leave, everyone's lives have changed as a result of everything that goes down on the 6 weeks that they are stranded there. It's queer romance, family secrets, dives into the questions that I was really thinking a lot about at the time around ambition and parenthood. There's a bird chasing bromance in there, sort of a big, sumptuous, sexy, fun summer novel. With white sandy beaches and crystal clear waters and lush rainforest, you know, an island that you're never going to want to be rescued from.
I have to tell you, I was like, when I started reading it, I was like, okay, I don't know where this is going to take me. And I was like, I want to go to this trip. Like, I want to go to this island with the weird toilets and the animals and the bar that only works for 2 hours, you know. Like, there's something to be said about this, like, somewhat lush place at the same time having to rough it out, because it's like to rough it out to the same time like have all the family time that you're like immersed with the family. Like,
yes. Yeah.
It's like you can't escape them because they're there. And we hear from every single member of, like, in the story, we hear their thoughts and their voices. And so it's like, it's kind of like immersive experience.
Yeah. I love writing ensemble. I love being able to see a situation from everyone's point of view, as opposed to just being, you know, seeing it from like one character's view of the whole thing. And it's really, all the characters are very different personalities, different agendas, different kind of jobs and different backgrounds. And their kind of take on the situation is all, you know, again, different. And it's just sort of so fun to pop into different people's heads. And as a result of being stuck together for 6 weeks, these characters like have conversations they never would have had before. Their relationships develop in a way they never would have had before. Certain secrets come out in a way that is, you know, that certainly no one planned. Relationships form and fall apart. And but all in this sort of, you know, hot, steamy, summery, sort of perfect island setting, which and it was really a joy to write for me because I modeled it all off the geography of a real nearby island called Gari, which is the indigenous name. The original name was Fraser Island, which again is an area of the world I'm quite familiar with, and was able to bring it to life with you know, flora and fauna, specifically Australian animals, sugar gliders and dingoes and all different kinds of birds and sea life and everything that kind of makes Australia so quirky and unique.
I love this. So I got to ask you about the logistics of writing an ensemble cast, because there's a flow in the story and we hear each person talking the story. So how do you plan each point of view to be said on that particular part of the story? Like, do you have them like notes and you just like put them like here, and then like, okay, the story needs to flow and this person's voice will come here and this other person's voice, or is it just like you pants your way?
I had a sense of where I wanted each of the characters' storylines to go. So sort of separately sort of knew where I wanted to take them, although a lot does happen on the page and things that you think will work in outline. Once you're kind of working with your characters and you're in the moment, you sort of realize, or they kind of tell you like, I would never do that. I would never say that. Or this is just isn't kind of emotionally realistic. So I sort of do have like a sense of where I want to sort of go with everyone. Sometimes that is very loose. So it's like a general, like, you know, awakening about blah, blah, or whatever. And so I'm not exactly sure how that's going to happen. And then I will kind of try and braid the plot together in sort of a note, a card or outline form, so that I sort of have a sense of where, you know, the basic order of things. And then when you're sort of in it, like when you kind of, you know, the plane starts flying and you can't, you know, come down, you'll have a sense of, well, we haven't heard from so-and-so in a while, or, you know, we've had a couple of serious scenes, it's time for some levity, or so on and so forth. But it's, a lot of it is quite instinctual. I like, this is my sixth book, and I like to trust myself as much as possible and to just respond intuitively to things. I think when you overthink things, it can take some of the humanness and spontaneity out of a project. And so I like to kind of, I sort of see myself as a director and you know, I, like my characters are the cast, and I like to put them in the driver's seat as much as possible. Like I sort of like, we'll go into a scene, they know the brief, like they know where the scene kind of needs to go emotionally, but I'm not like a heavy-handed director, like breathing down their neck with like, no, do it again this way. Like I kind of just like to see what happens, like, and to sort of be more of a observer, and then like at the end sort of take a look and see like, okay, let's try this again, but we're going to try it a bit more this way or whatever. But I do find that kind of light touch yields the best results. It's like, if you trust your characters, if you sort of, and you know, and by extension, trust yourself, the story will sort of form in the way it's meant to be.
I love this. Yeah, I think it's just like, I love your cast of characters. You had it had to be you, this whole cast of characters. And I love to be immersed in this world. Like you create a world that is just like, you don't think about it. And you're like immersed in these people's lives. And as someone who's nosy and reads about like You know, I want to know everything about everyone. You provide me essentially a series and one book, you know, like I know what this couple is happening. I know what this one is struggling with. I know what this is happening. I know, like, it's just an immersive experience, you know, for a reader to just understand like everything that's going on, you know.
That's great. I'm glad that you're enjoying it. Thank you.
Yeah. So what can we expect next? What are you working on next?
Yeah, I'm just in the process now of getting notes on my next book. And I won't say too much about it, but it is another ensemble rom-com set back in America. I'm sort of back in New York State, not New York City. And I'm in the wonderful / horrendous notes getting phase where the first draft is done and I'm getting reader feedback from, you know, editor and just first readers. Yeah. And that is always, I mean, I teach writing as well as being a writer, and I, you know, and I give notes as well as get notes, and I, which is sort of a good practice to have because I know how hard it is to get notes. It's like you kind of are hoping every writer wants that first draft reaction to be like, oh my God, it's perfect. Don't touch a word. And it's never, ever that. But I'm really excited about it. It's sort of definitely in Georgia Clark land. It's like fun and smart and sexy, and, you know, like romance focused, queer romance focused, it's very gay. And that'll be out in, I guess, 2024, what, three, what's next year, whatever next year is, that's when it'll be out.
But I think you have cornered the market of ensemble cast, and if you're giving me queer rom-coms, I'm like, I'm living for it. Like, yes, because we need more of that.
thank you.
Awesome. So let's chat some book recommendations. Do you have any books you recommend our listeners to pick up?
Yeah, look, I thought I would just stick on romance because, you know, that's my genre. And even though I read pretty widely, like I read a lot of literary fiction, general fiction, I'll dip into like mysteries and thrillers and memoir. But like I read a lot of romance because I love romance, and I read a lot of it because that's my genre and I need to sort of set it today. So I'll just give you like five quick romance recommendations. And if you are a romance fan, a lot of these will be familiar because I'm kind of going for, you know, some heavy hitters here, starting off with Casey McQuiston, one of the sort of leading lights in the world of smart romance. Casey wrote the giant hit Red, White and Royal Blue as their debut. Talk about coming out swinging. It was, you know, a massive success. The story of the son of the first female president who falls in love with the closeted Prince of Wales, in a sort of a star-crossed lovers, very, very funny, modern, super sexy queer boy romance. Their follow-up was One Last Stop, which came out last year with another amazing premise of two women, one of whom is a time traveling lesbian from the 1970s stuck on the Q train. Wish I'd been in the room for that pitch meeting. Like, only Casey could have pulled that off, and they did it with aplomb. It's wonderful. And Casey has a new queer YA rom-com called I Kissed Shara Wheeler out this year, which I will be picking up for sure. My next romance recommendation is 7 Days in June by Tia Williams. This is an amazing book that proves that romance doesn't need to be this book is sexy and fun and funny, but also really dives in deep to the sort of lived experience of the two Black heroes of the story. It's a straight romance. And I think when a lot of people think of romance, they think of, like, if they don't read romance and they don't know the great diversity and breadth of the genre, they think, oh, it's all just like bodice rippings or like silly girls like shopping a lot or something like that, which couldn't be further from the truth. And this is a book that really proves that you can write a beautiful, sexy romance that has true depth and character development, and real grit to it, and is just such a beautifully written book on a line level, as well as being a really important book. Emily Henry would be my third rec, arguably the reigning queen of romance right now with massive hits, Beach Read, People We Meet on Vacation, and new book, Book Lovers, coming out this year. Emily writes very, very funny, sort of in like character, like in all of her books so far, it's been straight romance between a guy and a gal. Who have off the charts chemistry and even better banter. If you like banter, if you just like characters who spend a lot of time going back and forth with witty quips and dialogue, like Emily is your girl for sure. And again, a lot of depth to her books. There are always sort of real like subplots and backstories with emotional family storylines, and sort of I would expect nothing less from Book Lovers, which is already shaping up to be the book of the summer that everyone is going to be reading. If you like your romance a little on the spicier side, Tessa Bailey is a extremely popular romance writer who is a self-published author, and which is no small feat. I mean, I can barely do it with a whole team behind me, and she's doing it on her own. Her last book that I read was called It Happened One Summer, which is sort of like Schitt's Creek style fan fiction, like a take on Annie Murphy's character, and is very sexy. So like if you sort of like your romance to be sort of like really seen like hot sex, then Tessa has a huge backlist and is a very funny writer. And finally, a book that I sort of went under the radar, but I mean, a lot of romance readers read it, Robin Lee's The Idea of You, which came out a few years ago, which is quote unquote Harry Styles fan fiction about a 39-year-old gallery owner from Los Angeles who falls for a boy band member modeled off Harry Styles, and their romance, which takes place over years and is not a rom-com. I would say it's a rom-dram, a romantic drama. There's not a lot of humor in it, but it's a very grounded and played out idea of this huge age difference, which like I feel like ordinarily you would think like that's gross and weird, almost 20 years between the two. But Robin is such an accomplished writer and so good at what she does that you really fall for these characters and you really want them to work it out. And it's very sexy. So they are my five romance reads for you.
I love all these romance reads. I read most of them. And I have to tell you, I agree with all the recommendations. There's a little bit of everything for everyone and they're great. Like if you're new to diving into the genre, these are good five solid reads to start, you know. Yeah. So I love this. So Georgia, tell us where you can find me online.
You can find me online. My website is georgiaclough.com. The only social media platform that I'm active on is Instagram. Mm-hmm. So message me there. And I have a monthly newsletter where I share writing tips as well as reading recommendations and just kind of like what I'm up to. And you can sign up at georgiaclough.com, my website.
Awesome. Thank you, Georgia, for being on the show.
Thank you for having me, Laura.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. Today's episode's partner is Libre FM. If you're an audiobook listener, then you should add Libre FM as your go-to source for paid audiobooks. Libre FM makes it possible for you to buy audiobooks through your local bookstore. Memberships start at $14.95, and they also have great sales for romance audiobooks each month for $3.99, thanks to the Kiss Club. To sign up for Libre FM, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/LibreFM. You will receive a free audiobook when you sign up for a monthly subscription. If you purchase a subscription through our link, you will be supporting the podcast at no cost to you. The What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always in the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. please visit whatsreadexblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.